At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Jerusalem Post. Israeli flees Brazil to Argentina to avoid, quote, war crimes arrest warrant. This is the New World Report, and I welcome for the new year Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. Ernesto, Brazil is always in the news, and in this instance, there's a fog of diplomacy here. An Israeli soldier accused of a war crime that looks like lawfare leaves Brazil. How did he get out of Brazil, and what is the controversy? Good evening to you, Ernesto.
Good evening, John. Yeah, this is definitely a case of lawfare. Now lawfare mixed with diplomacy and mixed with the clear alignment of Brazil, all instances of government with, let's say, the totalitarian slash terrorist bloc in the world. So, we're giving a taste of what lawfare is inside Brazil now with an international happening. So, well, there is a mandate against Benjamin Netanyahu in the International Criminal Court, but it doesn't extend to all Israeli soldiers. What someone in the Brazilian justice system thought is that, okay, so everyone in Israel, everyone who participated in any operation in Gaza is potentially a criminal. So this Israeli soldier is on vacation in Brazil. Some lower level judge issued a prison mandate against him. So, well, apparently what happened is that Mossad got wind of that, and before the federal police went to arrest this Israeli soldier, they managed to take him out of the country to Argentina so that he wouldn't be arrested. But this is immensely harmful to Brazil's stance, I think, in the world. Foreign ministry didn't do absolutely anything. The executive power didn't do absolutely anything. To say, oh, this is an absurd. You cannot start issuing arrest warrants based on fake suppositions. So, but that's what happened to thousands of Brazilians. Okay, so I think that's very telling of what happens in Brazil. The guy was just there in Gaza. Okay, like people were just there manifesting in front of Congress, and many people who didn't even get into Congress back in the invasion 2 years ago. Some people got arrested and got sentences for 15, 17 years in prison just for being there together with other people. So no rule of law, no right of defense, the supposition of guilt, all that which Brazilians already suffer is now exposed to the world. So this is very sad. Apparently the Israeli parliament, Knesset, already had an extraordinary meeting about this, because, of course, this is a threat to Israelis all around the world. And one specific Israeli parliamentarian said that, well, Brazil is now proving that it's a country that sponsors terrorism. That's awful to have that sort of label. But Brazil, so judiciary, executive, legislative, everyone is trying to deserve that label. That's awful.
A detail about the procedure. A federal judge named Raquel Suarez Chiarelli issued the warrant, according to a Brazilian newspaper, Metropolis, during a special session last week. Would any action taken by the judiciary, would that be known to the administration, to the president? Would he know about this?
Well, technically, he would know through the federal police, which belongs, which is under the justice minister, so under the executive power. So the federal police is like the police arm of the judiciary system. So, yeah, Lula could have known. Maybe he did, and he by silencing, he approved of that procedure. Okay, he can't interfere, or technically he can't interfere in the judiciary, but he could get his, the executive lawyers, so the, what we call the advocacy for the union, to interfere, to issue, try to issue, how you call it, to stop that imprisonment mandate.
Injunction.
He could have done that.
Injunction, yeah. Against the war.
Injunction, exactly, injunction. He didn't search anything like that. So what happens is that we have a judiciary that is more and more politicized, that starts from the Supreme Court and goes all the way down. Judges are very much sensitive to right. political pressure, to political situations, yes.
Joseph, I come to you about the situation in Venezuela. It's the fog of diplomacy here, but we do have this Reuters headline. Venezuelan opposition leader to travel to Uruguay, Panama in coming days. Now, this is several days out of date, so what we have is Venezuelan opposition leader Edmundo Gonzalez is traveling in the Americas, anticipating his going to Venezuela on January 10th. That's Inauguration Day, in which Mr. Gonzalez is the legitimate president recognized by Argentina, by the United States, and other powers. However, Nicolas Maduro is the dictator who plans to elbow him aside. We don't know what else will happen. Edmundo Gonzalez, is he a martyr? How do you read this news that he's visiting? I believe you tell me he's visiting Washington as well. Can he expect to be arrested and detained and prosecuted when he arrives in Venezuela? Good evening to you, Joseph. A good new year.
Good evening, John. Happy new year to you, John, and also to Ernesto. Good to be back. January 10th is the date that the Venezuelan inauguration takes place. And obviously, the regime in Venezuela, which is not a democratic regime, is going to impose themselves into the inauguration. And so you have is the legitimate winners of that election, and that's evident by the ballots that were made public by Maria Corina Machado. So the winner of the election was actually Edmundo Gonzalez. He, in a normal democracy, would be the incoming president. He'd be the president-elect, and he would be inaugurated on January 10th. But Venezuela is not a normal democracy. So what you're having here now is you're having the opposition, Edmundo Gonzalez, the rightful winner of the election in July. You're taking pretty much a tour to Latin America. He's spinning around Latin America, talking to all the major allies and basically building momentum for the possibility that he could go to Venezuela on January 10th. He had quite a big welcome in Argentina. He went to Buenos Aires. Obviously, President Milei is an ally of freedom and democracy. He's in opposition to Maduro. He hosted him at the Casa Rosada, which is the Pink House, their executive palace in Buenos Aires. He also met with the president of Uruguay in Montevideo, Luis de Callepo. He had a virtual call with the president of Paraguay, Santiago Peña. And yes, John, he was with President Biden at the White House. My understanding is they also wanted to meet with President Trump, but I don't believe that President Trump is going to take meetings of that delicate nature prior to January 20th. Once he's inaugurated. And I think that's smart because you don't necessarily want to get involved in this when we have other priorities when it comes to Venezuela. Nonetheless, he's going to be heading back to Latin America, going to Panama, then my understanding is Dominican Republic. And his effort is basically to see if he can drive momentum to go to Caracas on January 10th. Now, the opposition leader in Venezuela, Maria Corina Machado, who's in Venezuela, has called for a massive protest on January 9th. So right now it's to be determined. If you ask me, I think it's a small chance that he'll be able to make it. And if he does make it, there's a big chance that he's going to be arrested when he does come in. So there's going to be a lot of factors. We have to see what happens.
The news also includes another large group of people who were detained because they protested the election being released by the regime. Is Maduro looking to charm offensive? Is that how to read these releases before the inauguration?
No, Maduro's focused right now on trying to essentially drive a narrative that would allow his supporters, not just in Venezuela, but around Latin America, to amplify an argument to ease off of pressure mechanisms against him by the United States. So they're basically sucking up to the Trump administration, the new incoming Trump administration, thinking that they could trick them into thinking that they're going to basically be able to ease off the pressure. I don't think that's going to work. And I think that Maduro is going to essentially kind of waste his effort there. Nonetheless, I do think that there is a conversation that's pending between Nicolas Maduro and President Trump. And that conversation has to do with Venezuela taking back the migrants that are here in the United States illegally, and more specifically, the public safety threats associated with the Tren de Aragua. So that's a conversation that's definitely going to need to happen. But Nicolas Maduro, I think, is trying right now to draw a narrative around a good Venezuela. Venezuela wants to have good relations with President Trump. But the reality is that they say that, but in what their actions is, they continue to repress, they continue to violate all the freedoms, not just of Venezuelans, they continue to incarcerate Americans, they continue to traffic drugs, push out migrants, and do all the things that destabilize the entire hemisphere. So that's not lost on the Trump administration or President Trump himself.
Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. When we come back, Argentina, the good news of the whole of the Americas, both continents, all continents, the whole hemisphere, Argentina. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.